Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
Cartwright!
And the Bulldog.
Cartwright!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, so yesterday we spent a lot of the day on what Le'Veon Bell will do, having been released by the Jets. As we found out last evening, Kansas City, not in time for this game, but fantasy ramifications, among others, with this Le'Veon Bell news. To help us sort those out and other storylines around the NFL, from Draft Sharks, Bills fan, Adam Krautwurst, and Bulldog is a fan. I am too. We're both Adam Krautwurst fans. Adam, you were on the other time you were on, and we got done, and Bulldog's like, I like that guy.
Listen, as long as you guys are fans, I know I'm doing it right. You know what I mean?
How about that?
Dude, I don't like anybody, so I mean, that was big.
I don't know how you did it, but you won over Bulldog. That's not so easy to do.
Perfect.
Well, we're glad to have you back, Adam. I mentioned Le'Veon Bell here already. Is he possibly more valuable in fantasy as a complimentary running back piece in Kansas City than he was as the number one running back with the Jets?
100%. Yeah, there's so many angles about this Le'Veon Bell thing. So, you know, if you ask me, like, you know, 5 days ago, is Le'Veon Bell good? I say no. But as soon as I find out the Bills are trying to get him, oh, I'm like all in on it. You know what I mean? So it's like one of those things where you're just so excited to get a guy, and then now I think he stinks again because the Bills didn't get him. But but no, so he's going to be good as a complimentary back in Kansas City. And it's one of those things where, you know, everybody who leaves Adam Gase does really well, right? So unless you're a Clyde Edwards-Helaire owner and then you hate Le'Veon Bell, you don't think he's very good. So, so I think he's going to do really well as a complimentary back there. And unfortunately, I do have some Edwards-Helaire in some of my higher stakes leagues. So I'm kind of crossing my fingers that Bell gets hurt from a fantasy perspective because he hasn't been able to stay healthy. I know it. Fantasy football turns you into an absolute savage, right? You're just hoping for guys that are going to get hurt. But I think Bell will certainly have a role there. Edwards-Helaire hasn't been great from inside the five, so he might steal some goal line carries. I know a lot of that wasn't Helaire's fault. The blocking hasn't been good. But, yeah, Bell, you know, and the thing about it, too, is it kind of lets all the Le'Veon Bell owners off the hook because, you know, they shouldn't have drafted him to begin with in the fourth round. And now they're kind of might save their season. So that's the kind of another perspective.
I like you even more rooting for injury. By the way,
you like that?
I just think it's hilarious that he's willing to say it on the radio.
In my house, because my wife is always mad when I do this. But if it's an injury where you know the guy is going to be fine in the morning, then. Maybe. nothing like Prescott. Nothing where you're like losing, you know.
Yeah, right, sure. No,
games
I know.
Surgeries. I know. But, you know, a cramp, fine. He'll be all right.
Well, you got to remember, I'm the guy that, like, when we have this golf bet, I'm rooting for guys that I don't have to, like break their foot on a sprinkler head or something. So, like, you know,
that's harsh.
It brings out the worst in us. I admit it. That's why I'm saying I appreciate that Adam's willing to say.
Well, I wish I was as kind as you guys. I'm like, I have to admit, I have so much Jonathan Taylor. And when Marlon Mack went down week one, I screamed at the top of my lungs with joy. and I'm not happy about it. You know, I'm disgusted with the way that, you know, that turns me into. But that's what happens when you got thousands of dollars on the line.
You're disgusted with yourself. I saw, speaking of Edwards-Helaire and Taylor, Adam, I saw, I think it was from Ryan McDowell on Twitter today. He tweeted that the top rookie running backs, Edwards-Helaire with Kansas City, Taylor with Indianapolis, and that's with Damian Williams opting out for the Chiefs and the Marlon Mack injury, Dobbins with Baltimore, Swift with Detroit, Akers with the Rams, combined zero top 10 fantasy games through 5 weeks. Zach Moss, even, is somebody that you might have put next, and he's barely even been on the field and has not been effective. So is there a bottom line here on the rookie running backs? Like, how does this stat compare with what the hype was for these guys this year?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I mean, each of them kind of has their own thing, right? So Edwards-Helaire, he just, you know, he hasn't gotten the pass catching work that we thought he was going to get there. That was one of his biggest things in college. He was such a good passing back, or pass catching back. Jonathan Taylor is probably the one that has me most dumbfounded. I have a ton of Jonathan Taylor, and he was so great in college, you know, and then he comes to the NFL and he's got a great offensive line, and they want to run the ball. He hasn't been getting, with the injury there, he hasn't been getting the touches that I thought he was going to get with the injury to the starter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's been getting enough, and I would expect him to snap off one 50 or 60 yarder in the first couple weeks, and he just hasn't. So that has me most confused. I mean, obviously Swift and Dobbins, you know, they're just not getting work, which, again, that doesn't make sense to me at all. They are playing a little bit, and when they are playing, they're showing that they're incredible. You know, like, I think Dobbins had like one or two carries last week it's at one point in the game, and he had one of them was like a 40-yard run or something. So it's like, you know, these guys, I wonder if they're just saving them for the playoff run, although the Lions probably aren't. But yeah, it's just one of those things where those two backs aren't getting any work, and the backs who are getting work just haven't produced. And it's just, I think a lot of people are really confused by it.
Seeing as how we started on the Chiefs, I mean, we started on Bell, but that, of course, led to the Chiefs. Let's spend a little bit of time on this game. Like, obviously, I think if you have Chiefs every week, you put them in your lineup, no matter who you're playing. It just happens this week they're playing the Bills. How about the Bills side of this? They had a tough night, only 16 points as an offense in Tennessee on Tuesday night. Do you think there's a big bounce back there? So would you put like your John Browns and guys like that back in lineups for this game?
Yeah, I'm starting everybody in this game. Everyone that's like worth starting. You know, I don't know what the over under is. I think it might be like 57 or
yep.
something. But yeah, it's going to be a high scoring game. It's going to be on prime time, kind of. It's for 5 o'clock. But yeah, I'm starting my John Browns. Obviously, Diggs. Singletary, and obviously all the Chiefs. In fact, I picked up DeMarcus Robinson in a couple leagues for this week, you know, with Sammy Watkins out and, you know, all the injuries and the across the league and the bye weeks, a couple teams I'm actually going to throw DeMarcus Robinson in there because, you know, we don't know if Trey White's going to be back yet. You know, their second corner definitely isn't back. So I think that, you know, Patrick Mahomes could just have his way with them. And, you know, DeMarcus Robinson is certainly a flex option with some high upside.
It'd be nice to actually have Robinson score a touchdown and, like, actually benefit because usually, you know, you might have – Hill or Kelsey or whatever, and then the Chiefs score a touchdown like they do all the time, and you notice that it's Robinson, and like nobody's happy. Would you start of the two, Adam? Would you start John Brown or Mecole Hardman?
I would start John Brown. Yeah, I just think that he's going to get more targets than Mecole Hardman probably will. I do have a little bit of Mecole, and I had some of him last year, and he just, you know, in some spots, you know, Sammy was out. You know, 5 or 6 weeks last year, Tyreek Hill was, and Mecole Hardman didn't get anything that we expected. You know, so I think the Chiefs are good enough where they're going to spread it around. If I have Mecole, I'm still probably starting him, but if I have to decide between Hardman and John Brown, I'm probably going to start John Brown.
All right, Adam Krautwurst with us, high stakes fantasy player, FFPC main event, top five finisher, Draft Sharks contributor. He does a podcast with Draft Sharks, and then a new one that I'm a part of as well with Draft Sharks. Adam is on Twitter, Adam_Krautwurst, and you can follow him there. I texted you about this conversation about Chase Claypool. So this guy became a thing last week, four touchdowns. I mean, that's really becoming a thing. And so a lot of people would be in leagues where he wasn't drafted and may have scrambled for him this week. Deontay Johnson is out for Pittsburgh in their game against Cleveland on Sunday. Does that help set Claypool up for another big week? Like, is he all that at this point? Would you have been careful and maybe not even start him if Johnson were in?
Yeah, I think it depends on each roster, right? So if he's got injuries, if he's got, you know, if you need a high upside guy, I think Claypool was your guy with Johnson in there. Now that Johnson's out, if I have Claypool, if I drafted him, this is what I've been waiting for. If I spent all of my FAB money or if I spent my waiver wire spot to get him, I'm going to start him because, you know, why else would I pick him up, you know? So I'm picking him up, I'm starting him, and, you know, the Steelers have shown that they draft receivers very well. Big Ben uses them to their abilities. So, and he looked, even at the beginning of the year when he wasn't getting all the targets that he got on Sunday, he had like a beautiful 40-yard sideline toe tapping catch week one. Like, he just looks legit. And I think it'll be one of those things where, you know, he is an outside receiver for them a little bit, Juju playing in the slot. So I think he's going to start getting more attention from these defenses. But at, you know, at 6'4", you know, 238, ran a 4.42, you know, I think him and Calvin Johnson are the only guys to do that at the combine. He's just so athletic. It's kind of like DK, like it almost DK Metcalf. It almost doesn't even matter. Like, as long as Big Ben looks his way 8 to 10 times a game, he's going to have a monster game.
On the other side of that matchup, Adam, they got the Browns, and there's some question about Mayfield. Beckham's been ill. Like, what do you want to do with guys there if you've got Browns? Are you nervous because, you know, maybe Mayfield won't be there to play, and like that would obviously impact the rest of their lineup?
Yeah, I think I heard Mayfield today's trending towards playing. So I think if he is playing, you know, I don't love the matchup. I don't love playing any of my guys against Steelers, but, you know, the back end of their secondary isn't good, or their secondary in general isn't very good. The question is, can the defensive line and linebackers get home? And because that's what they do best, right? They rush the passer and they fluster them. Now, you know, the Browns have a really, really good offensive line. They put a lot of money into it. They put some draft picks into it. You know, they picked up a bunch of tight ends so they can do that. So, and, you know, the most successful passing games a lot of times come off the play action, and they do a lot of play action passing. So I think if they could protect Baker Mayfield, he can get the ball to Odell Beckham if he's healthy, and to Jarvis Landry, and maybe a little bit to Austin Hooper too. Now, I wouldn't necessarily be starting Baker Mayfield because he hasn't finished higher than a QB 15 yet this season. So I don't think this is a breakout week for Baker Mayfield, but I wouldn't necessarily be fading Beckham, especially Beckham, because he just has such a high upside. And Landry is kind of a questionable to me. I've got a lot of guys like, you know, do I start Landry or do I start Chase Claypool? You know what I mean? Because Landry's due, kind of like Brandon Cooks was last week. He's due for a monster game, and he's getting healthier too. So Landry's a little bit tougher, but I certainly wouldn't stray away from Beckham if everybody's healthy.
So, by the way, Adam, as a veteran player, how do you decide, right? Like, so in that particular comparison, Claypool might, and I know he's coming off a 4-touchdown game, so this is easy to think. It's recency, but you might think, well, Claypool is the boom or bust. And Landry is the, you know, the par. He's the, you know, 10 or 12 points. That Landry, like, he is tough. He just, the shot he took early in that game last week against Indy, he's crawling off the field. But he comes back in, and, like, you just know you're going to get something with him. But so how do you decide? Would you be somebody, and is this maybe the common answer to this question, where you're looking at your matchup and going, well, let's see, I'm a favorite, so I'll play it safe with Landry, or I'm an underdog, and I'll take the chance with Claypool.
Yeah, so it's so hard. This year, more than any, I've just been awful at those 50-50 calls, and I haven't been bad. Like, I started this guy, and the other guy scored three more points. Like, last week I started, you know, I started Traquan Smith because Michael Thomas was supposed to be out. So he's the number one receiver, and he had two great weeks for them back-to-back. And I started Traquan Smith over Brandon Cooks, who hasn't done anything, right? And, of course, Brandon Cooks puts up 30-something, and Traquan Smith puts up 4 points. So I don't necessarily think that there's a rhyme or reason. One of the ways that you could do it, that I've done it, that it might sound juvenile and not really, you know, analytical, but like, what player am I going to be more mad if I'm wrong about? You know what I mean?
Yes.
So like, if I have Landry in Claypool and I spent all this bad money on Claypool, or I've been waiting for him to bust out, and I don't start him over Landry and he goes crazy, is that going to make me more angry than vice versa? You know,
mm-hmm.
So I guess that's a super non-analytical way to look at it, but, you know, it's fantasy football. So, you know, there's a lot of good sites out there that can give you the analytics, but even they don't know. Nobody knows.
They can, but so often it's so close. You're talking about a projection difference of even less than a point. I lost two games last week because I chose Mo Alie-Cox over Hooper. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
I'm an underdog in this game. Cox is the one, you know, he's the highest graded tight end in the league at PFF. Like, this guy, he's the one. This should work out. But, you know, the game starts. I had it on in the car, and the first pass was to Austin Hooper. He had 10 targets, and Cox had maybe one. And, like, you know, I lost by a smidge. So you can easily be wrong. It's just, I wonder if there's sort of a preferred way to make those decisions. I like your way. What am I going to pick? What would make me angrier to be wrong about? What do you think of that, Bulldog? Could you do it that way?
Dude, I'm over here chuckling because I just Adam Krauwers continues to climb my rankings. That's how I do most things. Like, what's going to piss me off the least if I'm wrong?
It's how you make most decisions in life.
Right.
That's right.
I see. Right. Speaking of the Steelers a little bit, you talked about how they do give up points to wide receivers. And Travis Fulgham of the Eagles is another guy that most of us had never heard of. Last week, he had a big game for Philadelphia, a team that desperately needs somebody to pick up that slack. What about them? And Fulgham in particular, is he somebody you would trust? They are playing Baltimore this week, not great. And I want to also have you talk about, if you would, Zach Ertz.
I was waiting.
Yeah. On that team. Like, what are you supposed to do there at this point?
Yeah, so Fulgham, it's kind of the same thing with Claypool, right? So, like, nobody had Fulgham. Nobody owned him. Nobody started him. And in order to get him, you probably either used your top waiver priority or you spent a ton of your fab budget to get him. If you did that, go ahead and start him. One of the reasons why I didn't put in, you know, claims for him is because, you know, you look at the schedule, like, Baltimore, like, well, I don't want to start him against Baltimore, you know. And then at that point, like, do the other receivers start to get healthy? Is Fulgham a one-hit wonder? He probably is, but, you know, if I had a crystal ball, and he's going to be the starting X receiver there for the rest of the year, then, you know, I'd be excited. I'd go out and get him. If you went and got him this week, start him against Baltimore because you spent a lot of money to do it. So that's kind of my take on Fulgham. And then Ertz, man, he's been so confusing. He's only like 29. So it's like, and tight ends usually have a long shelf life, you know. So, the thought that Ertz has slowed down at all, I don't really buy it. I saw a real nice thing on Twitter today. I can't remember who posted it, but it was basically talking about his separation, his yards of separation between him and the defender. And they're as high this year as they ever have been, which is good to see. So it's like, okay, well, he hasn't really slowed down. He's not getting older and slower. It's just the offense has stunk, and they haven't been able to click for whatever reason. So if you have Ertz, and I have a lot of Ertz, you know, we're kind of just crossing our fingers and say, okay, well, hopefully this thing ends up turning itself around. If you're in a league where you can trade and you're looking for a tight end, now is the perfect time to buy low on a guy like Ertz, because you can probably get him for nothing. And the analytics show that he isn't getting slower. He's not getting worse. It's just they haven't clicked for whatever reason. And he's a guy where, you know, you're going to bench him and he's going to go off for 10 catches and 130 yards. So, you know, unfortunately, if you do have Ertz, you just gotta stick with him.
All right. So, like, hypothetically, let's say you have Ertz, and you have replaced him last week with Gronk, which worked fine last week. I mean, Gronk didn't go off or anything, but
better than Ertz.
He outperformed Ertz. You're telling me I should probably put Ertz back in there.
Yeah, so what's interesting is Tampa Bay has a great tight end matchup this week. So, but I would still probably lean Ertz because, again, I don't think the ceiling – if you're looking for ceiling, I think it's Ertz because Gronk's one that looks broken. Like, he looks – he's a guy who's not getting open and, you know. But, you know, if I'm wrong, just delete this. So yeah. Don't even listen to it.
Bulldog, you have Gronk and Ertz, but you can't start Antonio Gates over both of them at this point?
Right.
Don't you have Tony Gonzalez to throw in there?
Right.
Sounds like you have a – yeah. All right. Well, Adam, good luck to you with all your games, and thanks for being on with us. We learned a lot.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Of course. Adam Krautwurst of Giraffe Sharks. Okay, plays for big money.
Yeah. Speaking, what that's like.
As if you don't know. Jared Smola of Giraffe Sharks just tweeted a comment about the Colts injury report. We were talking about Jonathan Taylor there. Apparently, Jordan Wilkins, who has been stealing some of maybe Taylor's carries, has missed practice the last 2 days and is questionable for that game. So you might get more out of Taylor this week. I think the thing about Taylor that I've read is the question is about his vision. I don't mean like that he can't see, but, you know, a running back has to spot the hole and hit the hole hard and fast. And that Taylor, for as great of a physical specimen as he is and a runner as he is, there are plays where you wonder what he's looking at because he's running into the lineman instead of into the hole. So maybe that's an issue with him. I don't know. Like, I don't watch college football really, or, you know, do the combine stuff, but that seems to be the question about that guy so far. He's on the right team and he's got the right opportunity, but he doesn't have really the big game yet. So some thoughts on Jonathan Taylor.
All right.
We will.
You gotta know where to go.
You gotta know where to go.
I'm trying to think as you were talking there. I'm sorry, you got done talking. I was still turning in my head trying to remember. I know I saw a screen grab of it was a big play, like short yardage at the end of a game last
Madison.
Week. Okay, and. You know, it was like, oh, yeah, running backs don't matter until they do. Like, he just ran right into the people, and there was a huge opening just to the right of his right guard. Like, dude, over there.
Alexander Madison, 4th-and-1 at the end against Seattle.
Right.
And he had the hole to the right, but just sort of ran up the middle and got stopped, and they lost. That's right. That's probably it.
Yeah, that is it.
All right, we've got lines open, 803-0550 to talk Bills Chiefs, NFL, even some fantasy coming up. We will have Sal here for an hour at 5 and then picks after that. The game is Monday, of course, 5 o'clock. We'll be on at 3 after One Bills Live, and we'll have Steve Tasker and Chris Brown on with us for our roundtable there as we get closer to that 5 o'clock kickoff. The Bills and the Super Bowl champs, Kansas City. No Le'Veon Bell yet, but, of course, he signed with them. And we can talk about that, too, and probably will. Certainly with Sal, if not sooner. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's just as good out of the pocket as he is in the pocket. His ability to be able to extend plays, you know, with his legs and then with the strength of his arm, and he can make all the throws. And so, you know, understanding that play is not over on the initial route, that, you know, we're going to have to continue to plaster and understand that he's going to throw some balls into the air that he believes his guys are going to come down with, and there are going to be opportunities for us to be able to make plays on the ball. So, you know, when those opportunities present itself, you got to take advantage of them.
Bill safety Jordan Poyer talking Patrick Mahomes, who will be here as Chiefs quarterback, Bill's opponent, Monday at 5 on WGR. Mahomes, don't look. Mahomes at Pro Football Reference has six nicknames.
Ooh.
Do you think you know any?
Patty Moneybags.
Right.
My Mahomey.
Two. I don't know any of these nicknames, but.
Three. I don't know.
Three is one of his nicknames?
Is he Patrick Mahomes the third?
The second.
Okay. PM3.
Okay. What?
Okay, then PM3.
Deuce is his nickname. No.
PM3?
You said he's Patrick Mahomes the third?
He's the second.
Oh, the second. No, he's PM2.
Second. I was wrong. PM2.
PM2?
PM
no.
Squared.
No.
Squared.
Here are the six nicknames.
I'm not done guessing.
You're not right yet. Get one right. Get your next one's right. You can keep going.
Well, Tom Brady.
Mahomey is not right.
Mahome boy is right.
Oh, I mean, come on. I was in the.
That's close.
I was in the.
Mahome boy.
There.
Half credit.
You have to say it like you have to emphasize the middle. Mahome boy.
Okay.
Right.
Yes. No. Correct.
Mahome boy. You wouldn't say it like that.
No.
Maybe. Tom Brady started to mention it, Joe. Yes, I was thinking of this too. The Pharaoh.
Yeah, he's the Pharaoh, so what would Mahomes be?
TB12, Tom Terrific, right. Which sucks because that was Tom Seaver, and then the Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And don't forget Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. Well, that's Tampa's nickname now.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, six nicknames at profootballreference.com. If I were good at this, I'd have, like, fake ones.
Oh, yeah.
All the ones you just said are fake. The real ones are Showtime, Magic Man, the Musician, Fatrick, the Gunslinger, and Mahome Boy. Like, you just put anything up there?
What was?
Yeah, apparently
Fatrick?
So.
Fatrick.
Fatrick. Yeah, those are all terrible except for Mahome Boy.
Like,
because you know because I guess something close to that, so I want to defend that one. But those other ones are terrible.
Like, doesn't the nickname like actually have to be used for it to? Rate enough to get on the Pro Football Reference site?
I think so, yes.
Don't people have to actually use that nickname to describe you?
That's why the Pharaoh thing was so preposterous about Brady because, like, no. I don't think there's any recorded evidence of anyone ever calling him Pharaoh. Like, it's what?
Yeah, I know. It seems like anything goes here.
So those are pretty bad, I think.
Do you guys know? I would not have guessed correctly here. Do you know his height and weight?
I'm going to guess he is 6'2", 230.
Wow, you got it really close. I would have been like 6'2", but 210.
He's a little, the Fatrick thing is that he's a little pudgy, I think. Like he's got some mush on him, I think.
He's got some mush on him?
You say that about me. That bulldog, he's got some mush
on him. That guy's got some mush on him.
A little mush on him.
6'3", 230 for Mahomes. 28-8 in 36 career games. He's over 10,000 yards already with his season so far. Didn't hardly play as a rookie, just one game. Season finale, a game they didn't need. And could have been like a Rob Johnson thing there where they actually could have said, you know what, I know that the guys only played one game and we benched our starter because right. We didn't need this one, but did you see him?
Mm-hmm.
22 for 35, 284, an interception. That was at Denver, if I remember right, and they won a kind of a low-scoring game. But after that, 5,000 yards in 18, over 4,000 yards in 14 games last year, and off to a great start. The loss to the Raiders notwithstanding, 89 touchdown passes, 19 interceptions over the last two seasons, not counting playoffs, 39-6 is his touchdown to interception stat line.
I would like to, before, I don't know if we're moving on from this Patrick Mahomes portion of the show, but before we do, I just want to squeeze in. I look forward to the pictures that Twitter is going to send me of Mahomes with his shirt off where he looks like DK Metcalf in the gym before the draft, by the way, just because I called him. He's got a little mush on him. I have no idea what he looks like with no shirt on, but now I have a feeling I'm about to find out he's got like a 12-pack of abs or something.
Did you see the Peyton Manning pictures?
Yes.
Is that what you're thinking of when you say this?
I guess a little, yeah.
What's up with that? What happened to that guy?
I don't know.
After football, he gets in shape?
Yeah, right.
Holy cow, look good.
I mean, good for you.
And then there's Arch Manning, by the way. People are talking about Arch Manning,
mm-hmm.
The nephew. Julius, my son, was just asking about like he was this is how he talks football. Like, Daddy, is Eli Manning is still playing? No. Oh, so that means there's no Mannings. Wow. Something like that, he'll say. Like, that's right. Unless there's another one coming. And, like, the next day I learned of Arch Manning.
Yeah.
So, soon, maybe. He might be next.
Must have been a big week for that, because I think I learned of Arch Manning's existence a few days ago
as
well.
Yes. We all did.
Making the rounds, yeah.
Tomorrow is Julius's birthday, which means that would be Ralph Wilson's birthday, October 17th. Right. He was born on Ralph Wilson's birthday.
12?
11.
11, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't think you need to apologize for that.
All right, well.
Nice idea.
I like to, you know, I've been, I feel like I've been, it doesn't come up a lot, but like, how old are Mike's kids? 11 and 9? Like, I feel like I've been saying that for a little bit, so I was overdoing it with Julius.
Keep saying it. Tomorrow you'll be right.
Okay, right, good.
And he was born on a Saturday, and his birthday this year falls on a Saturday. This guy who tweeted at you a picture of Lake Placid, do you know him?
No, I don't think I do. No, he's inside the Olympic rink.
Yep.
That picture? Yeah. It's one of those things. I did not even hardly pay. No, I don't know Tyler. No, I don't know this guy.
All right.
Why do you ask?
Just to bring it up. Just to bring up the picture, Lake Placid. You and I have both been there. You guys didn't play there or anything.
No, Owen played.
He did.
He played there last January. Yeah, it was one of the most bitter losses of the year. They lost in overtime to a juggernaut from Canada. It was very, very disheartening.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he played. He got to play in there.
I went there maybe 4 years ago with my family, and it was empty. Like, there was no game or anything. Lake Placid, so Miracle on Ice. And you could just walk around the whole place, basically. Yeah. Like, the locker rooms that those teams used back then, and they're so small. Everything about it is so small. The whole village and everything, it just blows your mind that this would have been the Olympics.
Yep.
But really great. I mean, what a great place to visit. So I didn't know if you knew this guy, but I've seen that picture and remembering being there, and just like, it's such a small building. It's how it looked when I was there. No, nothing going on. Just the beautiful, plain sheet of ice. The banners. Are those like, those are college team banners?
That's like maybe ECAC tournament banners, I think, that are hanging up there.
Okay.
That you can see in this picture that I tweeted from this gentleman who sent it to me off his right shoulder. Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I don't know. For people who have, for any reason, not been there, I mean, it is. We were just there again this summer. I mean, we didn't stay in Lake Placid, but we were a half an hour outside town. I mean, it's just a spectacular part of the state, and I'd say the country. I mean, it's beautiful.
It's a great day, just walking around, bumming around that village.
Yep.
And by the way, speaking of hockey, I guess, I finally have, for the first time, I have a good mask. First time today. I got this today. I've been using either that one orange cloth mask that my daughter made that doesn't look, I mean, it's terrible in every way. Like, it doesn't fit. It doesn't stay on my face. It's just all crumpled and gross. Or those disposable, like, doctory light blue ones that I have a little stack of, and those always just sort of break, like the strap breaks. Mm-hmm. So I've had the worst mask game going. But yesterday at practice, my daughter, who plays for Amherst Knights, they gave the kids masks. And so hers is too big, and I got it. I get the Amherst hockey mask.
Oh, cool. Like the black and red. Yeah.
Yes.
Probably a nice looking,
And I'm going to see her play tomorrow for the first time. Her practices have been overlapping with this show. So, or they've been on Saturday mornings, and she wants my wife to tie her skates, and I can't go in the locker room. It's like that now.
Yeah.
So I have not seen her play there yet, but I'm going tomorrow. And my first thought today when we figured out the schedule at home was, I'll invite you because you're not doing anything ever. But it doesn't do any good because you're not allowed in.
Yeah, parents only.
Parents only. So I was going to invite you. I don't know if you'd want to, but tomorrow afternoon to go to this practice, but you're not going to be allowed in.
Would I want to go to a hockey rink to watch kids play hockey?
Yes.
I mean, are you kidding? Right? Of course, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would have loved it. Yeah.
Haven't done enough of that in your life.
No, I just what I miss it. I mean, I really do. I really miss it.
Well,
cool. So they get to play a game?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay,
no
just
games.
Practice. Okay, right, yeah.
They just
that's
practice.
What I was going to say. Yeah, I'm sorry.
How about that? I mean, can you ever all the things that are so strange? A team exists, but they never play.
Yeah.
They just practice.
I'm following. I mean, I'm still. It's not like we're ingrained in the Nichols community after just being there for 1 year or anything. So, but I'm still following along on Twitter, and we have friends that are a year younger, so they're still kids are still there. So I'm still paying attention. They can't play here, so they're somewhere in Massachusetts, I think, today playing. Last weekend they went to, or maybe even earlier this week they went to Pennsylvania to play a couple of games, and that's just. That's their existence right now. Like they can't play games.
So weird.
Here, it's same in New Mexico. That's why, like Owen, I'm trying to figure out. I'd love to, like grab a once their season gets up and running. I'd like to go to Albuquerque, but there's no point in me going to Albuquerque because the team is going to be traveling to Texas every weekend. Knock on wood, as long as it lasts, and I hope it lasts a good long while. They're playing in Texas, so now I'm thinking, okay, should I go to Texas? Should I go to Texas? can I safely do that? But I may do that just sometime in November or something, just to go see my kid play.
I think you should. There,
so I'm hoping to get that arranged.
I think you should.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Yeah, thanks.
Rachel's fresh picks when we come back. Then Sal will join us. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. This is WGR.
My sense would be as a receiver. I don't think he's been a very good runner, even going back to his last year in Pittsburgh before he held out. He struggled that year. He only had 3 rushes that year of 20-plus yards. I'm not saying they'll never hand him the ball. Of course they will. But I don't see him as a quote-unquote feature back in terms of the run game. He's a terrific receiver. You can line him up anywhere in the formation as a receiver. To me, given that Andy Reid is a pass-first coach and loves to throw the ball, he's not as explosive, let's say, as someone like Brian Westbrook, who Andy had in Philadelphia, but I think you can do a lot of those kinds of things with Le'Veon Bell.
Greg Cosell, his regular appearance on One Bills Live, talking about Le'Veon Bell. I would just add, why would you want to hand the ball off to anybody? Ever. Sal Capaccio joins us at the top of the hour. We'll talk about Bell at the beginning and then get into other Bills, Chiefs, and NFL topics. Time now for Rachel's fresh picks.
Mm.
That's right.
All right. I'm hungry. Let's go.
I am not sure about the picks this week. I don't really like, some weeks games.
Way to sell it.
Yep. Some weeks games jump out at you. Some weeks they don't. I have no idea if that actually correlates to success, but I doubt very much that it does. It's still just picking 5 games that are coin flips. But I like the Jets this week. I've liked them all week. And just keep adding to that spread. Le'Veon Bell off the team shouldn't hurt at all. The perception will be, according to the line, that it does a little bit. He wasn't doing anything more than Frank Gore anyway. The Jets are considered the worst team. They just keep getting worse. The perception of them keeps getting worse. And now they get a Dolphins team that people finally like. So give me 9.5. I like the Jets in that game. I don't have any money on it, but just for this. And I'll pick them later, too. Fantasy-wise, a couple guys. One is Andy Dalton. So there's 2 kinds of people here, I think. One would be, don't pick Andy Dalton. You know who he is? Andy Dalton? Why would you ever want Andy Dalton? And the other is, it's the Dallas offense. They're loaded.
And he's thrown for a lot of yards in his career.
That's right. He's played on teams. That's a good point. It's a key point. He's played on teams that threw the ball like crazy. He didn't make him super accurate or good, but he was a decent, at least, fantasy quarterback. I'm in the latter group. I think Dalton is safe as things go. And I'm fine playing Andy Dalton on my team. If I don't have one of the top 10 quarterbacks so far, Andy Dalton. In fact, I tried to get him on a Lamar Jackson team because Jackson has been struggling. His completion percentage is bad, and I don't know what's going on there, but he doesn't look very good. I tried to get him but was outbid. And I think I could have gotten to a point where I would have started Andy Dalton over Lamar Jackson before too long. Not this week, but before too long.
He's probably going to need to score. I think Arizona will put points up on that Dallas defense. So
yeah, both.
It could be. It's all the more reason he could. He could need to throw to win the game.
And they've scored on everybody with Prescott, even when Prescott went out. Dalton did all right, so I'd expect that. Also, the name Alexander Mattison, you brought him up earlier. We were talking about a play from last week. Dalvin Cook out, that's official. Mattison, I've got Mattison on a bunch of teams because I've drafted him a year or two ago. And he's just there for when Dalvin Cook gets hurt, which happens every year. But along the way, I've tried over and over to trade him because, you know, that's what you do. In a dynasty league, that's what you do. We've got Alexander Mattison. Does the Dalvin Cook owner want him? Somebody else want to pay up for the insurance or just for the opportunity? Whatever. He's never in your lineup. Now he's in your lineup. And this is a spot where you might want to try to trade him for more because he's playing and Cook is out. He might miss another game too. We'll see. Not expected to be long-term, but it could be a nagging sort of thing. I've just sort of been kind of stymied this week at a few turns because I've got Mattison, and I've had the same thought for like years even. I've wanted to trade this guy every time, but not, his projection this week is excellent. Like top 10 running back against Atlanta. And he should get the Dalvin Cook workload in this game. So now I feel like, well, it's not a bad thing.
Yep.
Now I'm going to put him in.
Doesn't Minnesota have another guy that you've talked about in the past? That,
Mike Boone.
Like, yeah, that's him.
Yeah, Boone will cut in a little bit, but probably no more than Mattison would to Cook. So now you play him this week, and then if he goes off, I'll try to trade him again probably all over the place. So Rachel's Fresh Picks. Rachel's, a great idea for catering. I mean, for lunch or dinner, too, but also for catering. Rachelsgrill.com. You can order anytime, order ahead, plan ahead for a party or whatever it is, and Rachel's will do you right. Grilled chicken, grilled steak, all the romaine lettuce and the rice and the pitas and everything that you love. Salmon now on the menu as well at Rachel's. They have a new location near us, Niagara Falls Boulevard, near Maple. And so you can go salmon with their famous dill sauce as well at Rachel's. I just love it. We were talking about fast food yesterday, and there are times where you might feel, like you're sort of stuck and you're just in a hurry and whatever, but you give it like a little bit more effort. You go into Rachel's. It's fast anyway. You just get out of the car and go inside. Great smell. You feel better about yourself, and it's healthier. Just a win across the board. 10 locations now, Buffalo and Rochester. You can order as well through their exclusive partner, DoorDash, and have it delivered. I love my Rachel's. You'll love your Rachel's, too. Rachel's Mediterranean Grill, official partner of the Bills and Sabres.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.